We are back in the saddle on this Tuesday. Welcome in. If you're just now joining us, welcome back if you've been hanging out with us so far this morning. Buck Rising here with you, Lucas Panzeca. He's making it happen behind the scenes. We are on the air until 1 o'clock. We got Mike Giardi of the NFL Network. He's going to join us coming up next. By the way, if you are attending Saturday's divisional round game between the Titans and the Bengals, which we will spend much more time on that later on in the show. If you're attending, the first 20,000 fans to arrive at Nissan Stadium, they're giving out Tennessee Tough blankets for you because the climate is expected to be quite chill. Keep that in mind if you are planning on getting into the stadium, arriving early, getting out there for player warm-ups, things of that nature. By the way, I am so excited for this. I don't normally get like this about sports. Even the one team in my life that I like still get to be a fan of, I just end up being angry at them for almost losing to Nebraska last night. A conversation for another day. Lucas, you going to Tennessee Vanderbilt tonight, right?
I'll be there tonight.
Do you feel good about that?
We'll see.
Okay.
I don't know with this team. I truly have no idea.
Yeah, well, one day they got no offense and all the defense. One day they got no defense whatsoever, and Kentucky's just absolutely mopping the floor with them.
Yeah, that was something.
Anyway, I am so excited for this football game. Let me tell you why. Ever since I got here, and for context, got here out of college in 2015, started covering the Tennessee Titans in 2016. Ever since I've gotten here, all I wanted at these games was a legit home field environment at Nissan Stadium. Not because, you know, I'm rooting one way or the other, but because those kind of atmospheres are unlike anything in the world. College football stadiums are nuts, right? You potentially have, what, 40,000 more people at Neyland Stadium than at Nissan? Maybe, no, closer to 30,000.
Closer to 30.
Either way, it's a big number. So college football, SEC, you know, Death Valley, Bryant-Denny Stadium, like there are a playoff hockey has this with the Preds when they were red hot. I mean, there are few things like legitimate home field advantage. For a long time, Titans didn't have that. I am so excited for this football game because they hosted a playoff game last year. And because of the pandemic, there were very, very few people in the stands. Felt like a scrimmage. Really took the juice out of it for me. And that's where my interest is. I want to see the best possible game. I want to see a loud and rowdy crowd. I tried to combine those two words. That's what happened there. I want to see people out of their minds for their favorite team. Kansas City going to Arrowhead in the 2019 AFC title game. It's one of the most incredible things I've ever seen in my life. I cannot wait to see that 8 minutes from where I live on Saturday at Nissan Stadium. There are too many reasons why this should be a fantastic crowd. But in the meantime, let's talk about the other playoff games that have been played, right? Wild card weekend officially concluded. J.J. Watt back. J.J. Watt, king cornball of all the cornballs, even as he might still be a pretty good player. And in fact, he was a great player for the Arizona Cardinals defense through, I think, the first 8 weeks of the season before he was placed on IR. He makes his debut last night. He puts out the Tom Brady-like hype video, and they just get smoked. Aaron Donald is... Kyler Murray is wearing Aaron Donald like a backpack because of the way that they're getting off the quarterback. And here's what I felt watching these games this weekend, because there was a ton of them that were just trash. Chiefs Steelers, terrible. Patriots Bills, awful. You look at the Tampa Bay Philadelphia score. 31-15, and that felt like a more competitive game. Even San Francisco and Dallas, it was entertaining because it was so stupid what was happening with the Cowboys and Jimmy G's death pick. That's the only reason it felt competitive. And even through watching all of these games, and I would make the argument that only one of them, the first one, Vegas and Bengals, I would make the argument that only one of those was a good game. I am still so tired of hearing people complain about, oh, they should shrink the postseason again. Oh, they should give us less football. Oh, there's look at this terrible, terrible product on the field. Why did we ever need to go to seven teams on each side? Can you imagine if they did this in college football? Yeah, I sure can. Do you know why? Do you know how many tens of millions, potentially hundreds of millions of dollars that the NFL and the television partners made this week just because there was an extra couple of games? Do you understand that business of football will always supersede the competitiveness of football? Now, competitiveness matters, and the NFL is more built for parity than any other sport. But you know what this weekend and last night felt like to me? Felt like just another week of the regular season. We're seeing a bunch of trash games on Red Zone. And at that point, you're just keeping you're keeping track of your fantasy football. And, you know, can Josh Allen get Dawson Knox just one more touchdown pass so I can win my championship game or I can win my league championship? One good game and five bad ones. Felt like any other NFL weekend. Surprise! It's exactly what it's going to do. Did you not watch? Of course you did. Now, how much of it you watched, different story entirely. I would tell you that I stuck through probably about 70% of these games live. Now, I'll watch a bunch of them back because Greg Cosell and I will do our podcast tomorrow, and I want to make sure I have a fundamental understanding of how each game was won upon another rewatch. But more than anything, like, what do people expect? We all celebrated the idea that there's an additional playoff game last year. More football. Give me more. Greedy, just like the NFL. And then when it gets here, all of us are just going to log on to social media and complain about it? That's so stupid. It's hypocritical. There were so many smart people that I respect, so many football people that I respect, complaining about more football. When what is it that proves time and time again to catch almost all of our attention spans as far as live programming is concerned? Time and time again. I think there was just, and I'll find the exact resource of this, but the top 100 live events on television this year was just put out. 94 of them were football games. Do you know how obscene that is? Don't tell me you don't want more football. Don't tell me you want the postseason retracted. You're a liar if you think that way. There's too much money involved. There's too much attention involved. And there's too much, certainly now with gambling, more. Give me more football. Give me more reasons to be invested in this sport that is already akin to a drug addiction, as far as I'm concerned. We got Jason in Murfreesboro, who's up first on 104.5 The Zone. What's up, Jason?
Hey, man. How y'all doing today?
Well, we are very well. Thank you very much for calling.
All right. Well, what I was saying earlier was you have to get the atmosphere right. Like when I was a kid growing up with the Titans, it didn't matter if you were losing, you were winning, the fan base was crowded. Like, there was the wave. You had the wave going every game. It didn't matter if, you know, you're down points or up points. You've got to get the atmosphere going. So, as a request for me, I want to see, because I'm not going to be able to make it to the game, I want to see the Titans fans do the wave at the beginning of the game. Get the crowd amped up. So, that's all I have to say to you guys.
Hey, thanks for the call, Jason. I don't agree. Or I don't disagree. I'm sorry. I don't agree. No, less noise, idiot. I do this thing. Do you notice this? Maybe you're, I don't know how Lucas, it's a 50-50 proposition to whether he's just hanging on my every word. But do you notice I do this thing where, like, I think my mind finishes the sentence, but my sentence doesn't actually make sense? It's deeply problematic for somebody who talks for a living.
I think we all do it to an extent.
Yeah, I feel like I'm doing it more. It's going to be fun watching me age. You're responsible for this. God help you. But here's what I'll say. Absolutely agree. Loud. Do you know who won all of their games this weekend? Except for one team. Home teams this weekend on Wild Card weekend and including Monday, 5-1. Dallas choked. Yeah, there's that. Is Coach Mack laughing like that at the Dallas Cowboys today?
I don't know.
It seems a bit harsh. I'm sure after the fact, he would probably say, well, you know, I understood kind of what Mike McCarthy was doing there. Or maybe he would just rip him like the official, like Peyton Manning wants to do. Every time, thank God Peyton Manning and Eli Manning, the Manning cast was on during that playoff game last night because it was just, there was no other reason to watch.
If the Rams had lost like that, Mac would be laughing, for sure.
Or the Birdnals. 615-737.
He probably is laughing at the Birdnals.
No, I think the Rams just sent him a game ball. Every time the Birdnals lose any game.
That's right.
Just chuckling at Cliff Kingsbury. Joseph in Smyrna is next. Hello, Joseph.
Hey, Buck. Just want to add to your point. You know, people were clamoring about wanting spring football, and we got spring football. And XFL, although it wasn't the greatest product on the field, but damn, it was fun to watch.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll take XFL again just to have spring football. So, for the NFL, you know, I don't understand why people are now all of a sudden, let's not have, you know, let's cut it back down. You know, I don't know about y'all, but I want some money on this weekend game.
I just for ethical concerns as a team, like as a Titans reporter, I don't bet on the NFL. I'll bet everything else because it keeps me engaged in all the other sports. But I know a lot of people, Vegas was not happy because almost all of the favorites won. Almost all of the favorites won. And five of the six home teams won this weekend. When we come back, Mike Giardi of the NFL Network is going to join us. He was on the sidelines for the Buffalo Bills' absolute ass-kicking of the New England Patriots in Buffalo, where Ryan Fitzpatrick was shirtless. That should have been my winner of the weekend. Damn, I blew it. I really blew it. Legendary stuff. Anyway, Giardi's going to be here. We're going to talk about the Titans and the Bengals, the greatest threat to Tennessee in this AFC playoff remaining now that we are officially in the NFL's Elite Eight. We're going to talk about that Josh Allen performance because regardless of who you're a fan of, that dude was out of his mind. Giardi is next. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone. Tuesday edition. Welcome back. Buck Rising here with you. Till 1 o'clock. Mike Vrabel's press conference coming up in about 36 minutes from now. Gary, the head coach, for you live from St. Thomas Sports Park. We got our buddy Mike Giardi, the NFL Network. He's going to be here momentarily as well. The number, if you want to jump in, 615-737-1045. You can do that, 615-737-1045. Let's go to Curtis in Nashville who wants to chime in on this Tuesday. Good morning, Curtis.
Good morning, Buck. I just want to say you have enlightened me that national news media, it doesn't matter what they say. I have been a Titans fan since the 2008 season, so I have always had faith in the Titans. But I worry that, like, people who moved here recently that are, like, historically the Titans suck, oh, I don't want to be a Titans fan or whatever, that they get their Titans news from national media who doesn't care about them, and I just worry that that's worsening our fan base. All right, I'm gonna shut up and listen.
Hey, thanks for the call, Curtis. I appreciate it. So that's an interesting question, given that we're about to have one of the hated national media members on now. Giardi is going to slink his way into the proceedings, and we'll talk about the AFC playoffs at this point. But listen, I mean, I understand why Titans fans have a distaste For national media. Speaking of national media, the person in the national media who I have the most distaste for joins us now on 104.5 The Zone. Mike Giardi is here. Hello, Michael.
You dialed the wrong number. You meant Rossini.
No, listen, Diana is less gruff with the audience than you. You have a different kind of demeanor, or at least she's better at faking it than you are.
Yes, well, that's probably more to the truth of the matter there.
All right, so I know how much you love my callers. You tweet me and text me about them all the time because I love them. They're terrific, but they're also insane. Bless you, people.
Yeah.
So we just had a call about, you know, national media doesn't matter as far as Titans coverage is concerned. And I don't like that, Mike, because there are so many of you guys, like Diana, even though you're probably not going to want to give her any credit, and yourself, Mina Kimes, who's going to join us later in the week. Like, I think we're pretty selective about the people outside of you that we bring on here, but why do you think people in Nashville feel that way?
Because they're not getting enough love. This team's deserving of more love. When you have these big conversations on whatever sports station that you watch, and you say to yourself, if you're a Titans fan, like, how come they got a lead with Brady every time? Or how come they got a lead with Rodgers? Or how come they get, like, you know, Josh Allen? Like, we're the number one seed, and it is I feel their pain because I feel like it's really truly been – this isn't one of those things where fans are, like, disrespected erroneously. This is – I think it's real and just not getting enough love.
So from that standpoint, Mike, you look at this game coming up here at Nissan Stadium, divisional round now in full effect, Cincinnati the opponent for Tennessee. How do you like the matchup on either side?
I like it a lot. I do. I think the front seven for the Titans – is going to give that porous offensive line fits. I think Joe Burrow is going to get hit quite a bit in this game. I also think they've been good enough against the run, right, where I don't know that you can say if you're Cincinnati, like, well, we can give Joe Mixon 25 touches and sort of keep you at bay. I'm not sure they can do that. And then you've got injuries on the defensive line for the Bengals, which, look, if Derek is back and Derek is 85, 90, 95% of what Derek's been, then they're going to have a hard time with that. So I think a lot of things are playing into Tennessee's favor as they go into this game.
Yeah, for what it's worth, Cincinnati against the Raiders averaged 3.3 yards per attempt. Joe Mixon, 17 carries for 48 yards. He averaged 2.8. So that was clearly the focus for Vegas to kind of snuff out their run game and let Joe try and beat them. And obviously he did, because the Raiders were trying to lose that game in almost as many ways as Mike McCarthy was on Sunday. Yes. Mike Giardi of the NFL Network is here with us on 104.5 The Zone. Derrick Henry is the topic A right here. We're going to go out. There's going to be a Sasquatch video shot of him at practice, of him doing, you know, some kind of sandpit drill or something that is largely, you know, for the purposes of clicks, useful, but not actually indicative of what his status will be. Mike, things are trending towards him being available on Saturday for this football team, though. Julio Jones, A.J. Brown, Derrick Henry, they've only played 120 snaps together throughout the course of this season. What does that number mean to you?
Again, it sort of speaks to the remarkable nature of the Titans finishing as the number one seed when that, you know, look, loading up with Julio on top of Derrick and A.J., I mean, you were hoping to have 800 snaps of those guys on the field together, and to get 120 is just ludicrous and speaks to the coaching job and the ability of this team to adapt when they have to. I would also say with Derek, like the way that Foreman and Hilliard have performed, that if you have to spot Derek, or if, you know, it gets clear early on that Derek's not running the way he did before, that, I mean, there's a drop-off. Obviously, he's the best running back in the league, but your offensive line has been able to create enough, and these guys have run well enough that I think you can still beat the Bengals without a fully effective Derrick Henry.
So the opponent, obviously, this weekend is the Bengals. You were on the sidelines. By the way, you looked very, very comfortable. What did the temperature end up being with wind chill in Buffalo on Saturday?
It was -7 by kickoff, and then, like, I'll tell you, so we went on the field after the game, you know, as the players were coming off, and I had the camera, my phone out, taking video, and within about 12 seconds I was like in pain. It was gnarly. So it had to be like -12 or -13 at that point.
Kansas City, assuming that the Titans, and it's not an easy assumption, assuming that the Titans are able to advance to the championship game, who's the bigger threat coming out of the other side?
I mean, Kansas City's still been weird to me all year long. You know, there's been moments where, well, there's been long stretches, actually, forget about that, moments where the offense just doesn't look right. And I know there's this big stat about how Mahomes has had all these unlucky bounces. But, man, when you have unlucky bounces every single week, like, maybe it's just not unlucky. Maybe you shouldn't throw cross bodies or moving to your right and try to swing a pass back to the left and throw it right at T.J. Watt. Like, that kind of happened. So I don't think the Bills can play as well as they did. I mean, obviously they were perfect against the Patriots, at least offensively. I think this is a coin toss, but I would say just the Mahomes factor would be the thing that would, I guess, worry me the most, you know, if they can find their rhythm. Hill's a freak, and, you know, like, how do you cover that guy? So that would be, I guess, the team that I would say I'd be worried about most if I was Tennessee.
Josh Allen, God mode though, was crazy.
Mike, oh, yeah.
I don't know why I didn't expect, because I know the Patriots have limitations. You're based out of Boston. You cover that team, I mean, more closely than probably any of the, by the way, are you traveling with Buffalo at this point?
Not this weekend, no.
Okay.
I'm going to be watching this. I get to watch this one from my couch.
Oh, you beer. Bum. Perfect. Well, that's such a, it's a playoff. Mike Giardi taking a weekend off. What a lame. Anyway, Josh Allen, God mode. Your thoughts?
Yeah, look, he's the best dual threat quarterback in the league. I think that they have unlocked some things offensively here over the last 5 weeks, six, if you want to go back to the second half of the Tampa game, where he ran eight times in the second half. He's averaging, I think, almost 9.5 carries now per game, as opposed to six before. It's almost like, hey, look, we don't want to subject you to this much physical contact, but at this point where we are in the season, can you give us a couple more games like that? Can we get through, and then you can rest up in the off season, and hopefully we'll find a way to matriculate the ball a little bit better with our run game going forward. He's awesome. Like I thought that the game he played against the Patriots December 26th was the best I'd ever seen him play. And then he goes out and does that, where he throws five touchdowns and just four incompletions in a playoff game in terrible, you know, weather conditions. It was even better. It's like the game for him is completely slowed down. And that's a scary proposition when the guy's, you know, 6'5", 6'6", 240, and, you know, can wing it from every angle.
Mike Giardi of the NFL Network is here with us, breaking down Wild Card Weekend and talking about the Titans matchup with the Bengals here in Nashville on Saturday. You are an NFL Network employee, so I'm not going to ask you a question that's going to put you in a bad spot. But, Mike, why can't people understand that even bad football, more bad football, is good business?
Yeah, I don't know why. I mean, all you got to do is pop in the numbers. Like, some of these games, obviously, most of these games this weekend were not good games. They were lopsided games. And then you go look at the ratings and you say, like, let's go back to Thursday Night Football, too. The Thursday Night Football games. We've had some absolute horrific games over the years, right? Horrific. And then you get the numbers and you say, people will watch football. Good football, bad football, in between, they'll watch it. So, yeah, it's a cash cow. They make a ton of money off of it. And if they can find a way to put more teams in or spread the games out more, they'll do that too.
So, wait, now, because the Patriots are out, are you just done? Are you doing television hits, or are you just, like, not trapped? Like, you get to watch the rest of the postseason from home?
That is, we are a week-to-week operation.
I see.
You know, we're a game plan-specific team, you know, this week. The game plan does not involve Mike Giardi. Next week, the game plan could involve Mike Giardi. So, you know, you got to stay ready. You got to stay hot.
Uh-oh, head on a swivel. That sounds like you're the weak link in the NFL Network's coverage. But you can watch him either way on the NFL Network. At Mike Giardi is where you follow him. Or if you want to search his name, Michael Giardi, because he has to be difficult on social media. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
Mike Giardi there with us on 104.5 The Zone. I don't understand conceptually why people can't wrap their heads around more football, because more people want more football. That point has always gotten lost to me. Now, I know that Giardi is an NFL Network employee, and I'm not going to ask him a question that's going to put him in jeopardy at work. I don't know how hyper-focused the NFL is on self-criticism. I imagine they're not crazy about it, given that the owners literally own the league's network. But we're all interested in it. We're all betting on it for the most part. The vast majority, especially in Tennessee, now that it's legal, betting on it. We all are planning our days for the most part on the weekends around quote unquote super wild card weekend, even if it just feels like five trash games and one good one. We'll watch it. Anthony is in Austin, Texas. All kinds of out of state callers today. Hello, Anthony. Anthony, I hear your blinker. Where are you going right now? You think he hears me? He doesn't hear me. No.
Come on.
How can that be? How can I hear his turn signal and him not hear me yelling at him? It's not like I'm hard to hear. 615-737-1045. Those are my favorite, the turn signal calls. From the standpoint of what Mike said, and listen, I know that the easy answer to this question, who's the biggest threat to the Titans remaining in the AFC, right? Because we're now down to four teams on the Titans side of the bracket. Yes, obviously the greatest threat to them in the immediate is the team that they play on Saturday. But from a matchup standpoint, because Titans don't have to look ahead, Mike Vrabel doesn't have to look ahead, Ryan Tannehill, A.J. Brown, Derrick Henry, Jeffrey Simmons, Christian Fulton, they don't have to look ahead. We'll do it for them, right? Rat poison. I'm looking at the three remaining teams, Buffalo, Kansas City, and Cincinnati, and saying, okay, Buffalo, Titans low-key own Buffalo. I don't know if that's a mental thing. All I know that if you're asking me which quarterback I don't want to see right now out of any of them remaining, I do not want to see Josh Allen, because you did stop him. Fourth and short, quarterback sneak, Jeff Simmons bear hugs him, and maybe he slips, or if you're, you know, a conspiracy theorist, whatever you want to talk about. Titans own the Bills. Titans sneaky have done well against the Chiefs and specifically Patrick Mahomes. I'd rather see Patrick Mahomes over Josh Allen. That is not a statement that I thought I would find myself saying today. Let's go to Nick, who's in Columbia, Tennessee, with a question this morning. Hello, Nick.
How you doing, Buck?
I'm well, thank you.
So you were talking about, you know, how the national media doesn't really give the Titans a lot of love. And
well, now, to be fair, Nick, we had a caller say that. I have my friends who I trust their analysis of the Titans nationally on the radio show all the time.
Yeah, but, you know, you were kind of saying, like, if you look at ESPN, they're kind of always talking about Rodgers and Mahomes, but...
Yeah, you're right.
You know, I saw on your Twitter the other day about how they're having a watch party on Broadway. Is that true?
Yeah, so what I heard and what I was told last week was the city of Nashville was putting plans together to have watch parties around the city, and that more details would come out this week. As soon as I have an update on that, I'm going to let you know, Nick, okay? I'm going to follow up on some texts about that this week. Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Let's go to Dorothy, who's in Alabama, up next on 104.5 The Zone. Hello, Dorothy.
Hi. Yeah, you know, I hear talk myself that the Titans don't get a lot of love. I mean, I think Tannehill's really underrated. You look at the play that he did this last game they had where he was down. It will look like down and out on his back, but he does a move where he rolls over and throws a pass. That was great. You know, I wouldn't be surprised to watch him run one in himself. I mean, the Titans don't get a lot of, you know, good press, like, hey, you know, he's great. Henry, yeah, you know, you're out here talk about Henry, and it's great to see him come back, but I really do think the team is underrated, and Tannehill also.
I appreciate the call, Dorothy. I mean, you'll hear no arguments from me. I've been advocating on behalf of that quarterback all season long when I saw everything around him failing and the guy still find a way to eke out wins. Now, not unto himself, again, Ryan Tannehill, with the amount of injuries this year, we learned that when he's throwing to his fourth and fifth option as a wide receiver, guy's not going to be able to Aaron Rodgers you into a win. I think that's okay, especially right now, because the whole team, for the most part, gets you updated on Titans practice today, and Mike Vrabel will speak to the media in 20 minutes. We'll carry that for you live ahead of their first day of work, ahead of Saturday's divisional round game. We'll get more of your phone calls on this conversation coming up next. I'm Buck Rising. This is 104.5 The Zone. Hey, I got big news. I told you, going to have all manner of guests this week. I don't know how many of you guys saw Jim Wyatt, the great one, tweet out yesterday who the 12th Titan at Nissan Stadium is going to be ahead of the divisional round against the Bengals, the sword swinger, as it were, prior to the game's kickoff. Lucas, who is joining us tomorrow at 11 a.m. on the radio show?
Number 99, Jarrell Casey.
We are very, very excited to have a little toe drag body bag action on the radio show tomorrow. We got Jarrell Casey, we got Mina Kimes, we got Will Compton, we got a bunch of other cool guests coming for you this week as well. If you're not checking out the podcast, by the way, in case you miss any of our interviews live, you should do that. It's the Buck Rising Show in your favorite podcast app. You throw us a rating, maybe a 5-star review. Be greatly appreciated. Back to the phones. Oh, I was just going to go to Adam and he hung up. Let's go to Anthony. Ah, is this Anthony with the turn signal?
This is take 2.
All right, Anthony.
Hey, y'all hear me?
I can. Can you hear me?
Hey, so, yes, sir, I can. Sorry, first time caller. Sure enough, just got disconnected there.
Okay.
But, no, just wanted to get my 2 cents real quick. I know I'm on 90 seconds, running short, but here we go. The only team that's going to beat the Titans is the Titans. As you know, their turnovers were a problem and series of losses recently, so I think we just clean that up and we play the ball, we're going to win. Now, I think as far as the game going on in the future, I think the Titans will be able to.
Oh, Lucas, did you drop it?
I think he just dropped.
Oh, God. Anthony.
I was getting ready to give him.
Anthony, all right. You were very forgiving to give him another opportunity. Anthony, your phone line's terrible. Why didn't you play the music?
I was getting set to, but he dropped.
Finger on the trigger?
Yeah.
We have Oscar's music to play you off if your phone
I feel
call.
Bad, though, because he did recognize that. I'm going to keep it under 90 seconds here.
Oh, he knew the rule.
Yeah. Like, I heard, I made that out of what he was saying.
All right. His etiquette. Well, listen, here's what I heard him say through his terrible, terrible phone line. Anthony, you're a first-time caller. If you would like to call us back, you are welcome to do so anytime. We do appreciate you listening. But here's what I heard through his phone line. The Titans are the only team capable of beating the Titans, and what he's referencing there is the turnovers. I'm certainly inclined to agree. Sid is in Lebanon, up next on 104.5 The Zone. Good morning, Sid.
Good morning. I was listening to watching the Kansas City game the other day, and it seems like every week, but Kansas City, they've already got them in the Super Bowl winning. You know, it's like they don't even consider the Titans have a chance.
Who does, Sid? Who are you talking about specifically? Name names.
I can't remember who was doing that. That's another thing. Maybe if we get to the Super Bowl, we get the top announcers instead of the low rung.
Well, thank you for the call. Listen, Sid, you're getting NBC either way if you make it to the Super Bowl.
And you're getting Charles Davis this weekend. That's nothing to complain about.
You leave Charles Davis alone. We are endeavoring to track down Charles Davis to see if he doesn't have a couple of minutes for us this week as well.
Plus, I don't know what he's talking about. Kendrick Perkins picked the Titans to win the Super Bowl.
Moses.
What more do you want, people?
Wait. We have to get him on. If they make the championship game, no. If they make the Super Bowl.
Kendrick?
Titans analyst Kendrick Perkins.
Give him his flowers?
Please. Harry Douglas is great. We love Harry. Harry, a former player. Equally as adept at spitting fire on First Take, but if the Titans make the Super Bowl, I will pay myself to fly Kendrick Perkins to Nashville to make him our in-studio Titans analyst, just for him to tell me in Kendrick Perkins' grizzly bear voice that the Titans are going to win the Super Bowl. I love it. Mike is in Nashville up next. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. Listen, I'm a native Nashvillian and been around forever. I was here when they had to rope the outfield off to put people in so that people could watch the sounds play.
Yes, sir.
You know what I mean? So my question is, who's the first pro team to win a championship here? That's where the respect comes from.
Yeah, there's no question about that. No question about that. The first pro team to win a championship. It's interesting to talk about, you know, different cities who have had championship droughts, right? The Bengals are a part of this conversation. The Browns in their new iteration are a part of this conversation. Preds lost three in a row. So we had Ryan Johansson on, and then they just immediately started taking L after L. I tried. I really did. I tried to keep that afloat. But listen, you put Tennessee on the map with a championship, we still talk about Kevin Dyson and the loss and the St. Louis Rams in that Super Bowl. 22 years almost to the date from the Titans' last Super Bowl appearance. You finish the deal, you're immortalized. People like me, we write books. Listen, I'll take a book deal.
You can write a book?
I'd write a book. Are you kidding me? If they won the Super Bowl, I would so cash in on a terrible book of all my life. I'm not going to work that hard. I'm just going to re-aggregate my old columns, put them in a book. That's all. What's the Tony Kornheiser book? He just put a it's the same concept. He literally titled the book, I'm Back for More Cash.
What are you going to call it?
It's a good question.
I hate it here. My butt cries.
No, it's not about me. It's about them. Maybe some me. All right, when we come back, Mike Vrabel at the podium. Titans' first day of work ahead of the Cincinnati Bengals on the field at the very least. You'll hear from the head coach coming up next.